A very good morning to you from the hills of La Jolla. Each day the postman brings letters from some of you, and the telephone brings your voice into our home from the greater Bay Area, from Oregon, from Wyoming, some Oklahoma, other parts of California, and to our very pleasant surprise, some of you have even paid us a visit. And now, after 2 months, which have slipped by so quickly, we begin our first-class reunion. You know, of course, that we have never really been separated, neither by time nor by space. I have received various communications indicating that a number of you have found that this 2 month period has given you an opportunity to find a sort of spiritual stability. There have been mixed emotions about it. Some have said that in these 2 months I have really found myself. I find that I have strength I didn't know. And I'm glad to hear that, for that's the real test of a teaching. Others have said, really, I must tell the truth, I understand the message, at least I think I do, and I really practice very diligently. But I must admit, even to myself, that a certain something, something I can't quite define, is missing, and I really can't place my finger on it. Then I have another letter from an individual, a very dear spiritual soul, who has this to say, which is quite a surprise. There are moments that I have the feeling that I'm absolutely lost, and in the middle of nowhere, all by myself, being a human being, without any spirituality or any awareness of my inner being. What is this? And where did it come from? Well, when I read something like that, it reminds me of myself. And so, having had that experience, as all of you had, I know the answer. Whenever I have discovered myself in a tailspin, not aware, not receiving inner guidance, and sometimes very lost at sea, I have always had the answer simply by saying to myself, "Who are you?" And then it comes back with a shock. I had forgotten who I was. I really thought I was Herbert Fitch, just as this individual thinks that he or she is this particular name, this particular person. And when I got over the belief that I was that person and reestablished who I really am, lo and behold, that was the end of the tailspin. And you could almost feel spirit knitting itself back into your consciousness so that now you knew you were one with something great, infinite, true, real, and you were you again. And so I can truly say, yes, I know what's missing. I can tell you right now. And take your name, for example. Just think of your name and where you are, say it out loud. Say it. Now think of that name you have just spoken, and face a very shocking truth. The person whose name you have just spoken can never, never live in the kingdom of God. Here you've been trying to live in the kingdom of God, and that very person that you have been can never live in the kingdom of God. There are no human beings in the kingdom of God. Now, you may not like it, but that is the truth, and it is the truth that we must face every day of our lives. Take any person you love. Do it now. Just out loud, say the name of a person you love. And after you have done it, face the fact that that person you love can never enter into the kingdom of God. It is a physical impossibility. Scripture tells us that God is no respecter of persons, that the creature, the person, receiveth not the things of God. Not even a good student of the infinite way can walk in the kingdom of God. There must be a turning first from the personal sense of life, a turning from mortality. To walk in the kingdom of God on earth, you must first wear the robe of immortality. And so if you want to receive the fruits of the Spirit, you cannot be flesh, you must be spirit. And as long as you remain Mary Jones, Bill Smith, or whatever your name happens to be, you can love God with all your heart. You can read all the spiritual books ever written. You can even feed the poor 3 times a day. But still, you will remain on the outside of the kingdom of God looking in. The error is simple. It is not only your error, it is the error of mankind. And that error is that we have not fully accepted that we are the sons of God. Now, I know you have high ideals, and I know you have the best intentions, but remember the word full. You have not accepted in full. You're trying, you're dedicated, you're overcoming many barriers, many mental beliefs which have in some way been an obstacle. You're overcoming the fear of new and challenging experiences. You're overcoming inertia and procrastination. You're overcoming the tendency to look at the world from a personal sense. But in spite of all your persistent efforts, there always remains between you and the ultimate truth a thin veil. Something you can't quite push aside, something you can't quite define, something that frustrates you. You might call that veil double-mindedness. A situation comes along and you're a little in doubt about it, you don't know how to proceed, and so you might say you play it safe. A little human, a little spiritual, and as a result, you become what may be called a part-time son of God. Now that's the real veil. You see, a part-time son of God can only have a part-time God. And there simply is no such God. God is full-time. And the Son of God must also be full-time. To experience God, then, as a living presence, to walk in the kingdom of God on earth, you must be the full-time Son of God. You can't be half human and half divine. Now, in the last 7 classes, in February and March, we had quite a number of newcomers. In spite of that, we did go into high truth, pausing, perhaps, wherever necessary, to bring the students into some degree of understanding, so that they would not flounder helplessly. We didn't expect those students to step out of their skins and live as full-time sons of God, because they had not yet developed the practical tool to cope with new and unusual truth. But you have. And so in the class now that we're about to begin, because there are no newcomers, and because we have all received a basic and a long indoctrination, this will be an all-out effort. To us, truth can no longer be a stick of dynamite. For Spirit has taught us that it goes before us, it prepares the way, it performeth, it perfecteth, and it knoweth our needs. Not only has Spirit prepared the way, but it has laid in each of us a strong foundation, leading us very firmly and sometimes not a bit gently out of our conventional human concept into wisdom unknown, unsuspected by the human intellect. Now the wraps are off. We who have assembled for this class are ready to give top priority to truth, to the job of being a full-time Son of God. We're confident that Spirit's not going to send us out in bodies of light until it has developed in us the soul capacities to maintain those bodies of light in the divine will under any and all circumstance. And we're also confident that above mind there is a spiritual consciousness ready to govern us in perfect divine harmony. We're confident that the spiritual government of God is present, right here, right now, waiting for mankind to walk in it as full-time sons of God. And we are ready to dedicate ourselves to this all-out, no-holds-barred effort to make that transition. I hope that is where we now all stand together. Resolved to walk as one with the infinite, in the infinite universe of love. Not to become, but to be. To translate all of this truth talking into truth experience. To live it. To receive our mission in higher realms of consciousness. To live by a wisdom beyond the intellect, to be self-aware, totally aware, to be spiritual co-workers, sons of living light, in light, as light, independent of all human karma, of world forms, of boundaries and limitations, to walk consciously in the Father's house daily as His living Son. And so we must find a way, call it a secret if you will, the secret of being a full-time Son of God. That is what this class is going to be about. And that secret was actually revealed on earth by the birth of Jesus Christ. It was misunderstood by mankind and unfortunately by the clergy as well. Since the beginning of time, the fact has been staring us in the face, but world thought has brainwashed us. But here it is, a stupendous truth that we can all understand. Every man on earth born of woman must die. You know that, and I know that. We just turn away from it every day. Every man born of woman must die. But what does the birth of Jesus Christ teach us? It teaches us that whoever is born of a virgin never can die. The individual born of a woman is not the Son of God. He isn't going to go to heaven. There's no point teaching him about ceremonies or doctrines. The individual born of a woman is not the Son of God. We want nothing to do with him. Because if he's not the Son of God, he isn't even there. But the individual born of a virgin is the Son of God. Born of a woman, we experience the opposites, the good, the evil, the good health and the bad health, the sickness and the recovery, the youth and the old age, a lifespan followed by death. The biblical story of the virgin birth had a purpose, and that was to inform us of the two births. The human birth with a human father, and the divine birth without a human father. The miraculous experiences of Jesus Christ on earth were possible only because he was born of a virgin, not of a woman. Miracles can happen only to the child born of a virgin. Only the child born of a virgin can walk in the kingdom of God. To be the Son of God, you must be born of a virgin. But now we take another step. In your first birth, you were born of a virgin, meaning not of a human father, but of God. This is really the revelation of your spiritual identity. In your second birth, you were born of a woman, with a human father. This was your physical or mortal birth. And because of this second birth, born of a woman with a human father, you now live in a second self, a mortal self that must die. Human birth is always the veil, concealing the first birth as spirit. Human birth is the outer birth. It is a concept of the mind, which does not perceive the spiritual self born of God. This outer human birth into our second self is actually the symbol of what every individual must do within himself. Rebirth is the realization that my true Father is God, I am the Son of God, I am the living Spirit of God, and when this understanding is brought into actual realization, that is the meaning of being born of a virgin. Then the second self is turned to the first self. This is what virgin birth means, and this is what religion has failed to teach. And yet, it was this great virgin birth, the second self dying, that the first self may be expressing the fullness of God, which made possible all of the extraordinary achievements of Jesus Christ. And it was the invitation to heaven on earth, issued to every man on earth, when Christ said, "Deny thyself. Pick up thy cross. Follow me. Deny your second self, your human birth. Pick up your identity as living spirit, Son of God, not of woman. Now walk in the invisible paradise that surrounds every one of us. Born of woman, we die, we reincarnate. Reborn to the spirit, our original self, which has never left us, we walk through the grave." Your virgin birth must become your daily assignment. And that will be the theme now, not only of your work from this tape and for the next month, but if you would walk this earth as a Son of God, it must be your theme for the remainder of your lifespan. And really, that's what the Christ had in mind when the statement was made in Matthew 7:14. "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life." Leadeth unto life. "And few there be that find it." You see, no person born of woman will ever find it. That's why it's so narrow. And even after you have accepted daily rebirth from your second self back to your first self, if that isn't your goal 7 days of the week, 24 hours of the day, the way is still going to be too narrow for you. Rebirth does not consist of 3 meditations a day, nor is it accomplished by hearing a tape even every day of the week. To succeed, to be a son of God, rebirth must actually be your only purpose in life. Seek ye first the kingdom. All things will then be added. Rebirth first. And you say to yourself immediately, but how impractical can I get? How can I be thinking of rebirth 24 hours a day? Even Jesus Christ didn't have to go to a job in the morning. Jesus Christ didn't have a wife and a family to support. Jesus Christ didn't have to support an aging mother. Jesus Christ didn't have grandparents who were on their last legs. Oh, you can think of a million reasons why rebirth can't be your way 24 hours a day. But fortunately, I can think of many reasons why it can be. Rebirth for you who wish to walk in the kingdom of God must receive total and top priority, without exception, every day. It cannot be sandwiched in between your business and your marriage and your home and your children and your social relationships. It must be the central theme, the underlying purpose of everything that you do. It can never happen by itself. It must be a conscious act on your part. And this conscious act must be a continuous act without interruption, so that every day you awaken to only one purpose, not how can I build a better business, not how can I make my marriage happier, not how can I ensure the future of my children. No, those things will be taken care of simply by your attending to the first goal. You must be the living resurrection. Not talking about it, not just thinking about it, but building your entire life around it, so that you become accustomed to walking every day in the kingdom of God on earth, to expressing more and more of your first self, not your second, your permanent self, not your temporary sense of self, and so that you ascend out of all mental, all limited physical aspects of life, out of false boundaries, out of the unreal horizons of the mortal life that we have thought we were living, into life, life itself, being, not becoming. Then for you, the gate, though narrow, opens, and it leads unto life. In order to make daily rebirth your way, you'll find it necessary to integrate it into your business, to integrate it into your marriage, to integrate it into all your relationships. You see, not to sandwich it in, not to say, for example, that, oh, I have a coffee break coming at 10:30, and so at 10:30, when nobody's around, I will go and have a meditation. That's not enough. What about from 9 to 10:30? Aren't you going to be the Son of God then? You see how important it is to make that hour and a half a spiritual hour and a half, not just to wait for the coffee break and then to have your meditation. In other words, behind that hour and a half must be your conscious awareness of your identity. You visit your relatives. They don't study the infinite way. They don't even have a spiritual spark in them that you can converse with. And so you say to yourself, well, for these 2 or 3 days or this week that I visit them, I just can't be myself. Oh no, that won't go. Daily rebirth means daily rebirth. And when you go to visit them, you must discover the Son of God in them as well as in yourself. And this is a great trial. But that's what this class is about. It is to prepare you to do that. So that when you go forth, wherever you go, when you see the 4 billion who do not have a spiritual spark in them, you walk into a room as a living light, and you do not hide your light under a bushel because your relatives don't have the spark, or your business associates. And you don't make a big issue out of it either. You don't wear it on your sleeve. You wear it in your heart. You let your light shine because you are you, the Son of God. And you know it consciously. Now, we have not yet walked through the narrow way, because we really believe that marriage, business, health, pleasures, security, social position, all of that must claim our time. And so we've only given a limited amount of time to devote to our spiritual living. We were wrong. We have only 24 hours a day, and those 24 hours a day must be given to spiritual living. Only in that way are we led to life. Everything else leads to death. We cannot have two kinds of living, only one, spiritual. And this is the inner meaning of seek ye first the kingdom. It means that your entire viewpoint must be spiritual, that you must establish spiritual habits, spiritual insights, spiritual relationships, that you must live spiritually through every minute of every day at home and in the office, until your outer life automatically expresses your inner rebirth. And so, I have prepared a systematic daily program, which I hope you will take to heart. A program of contemplative meditation ideas. You might say that they are truth in capsule form, unchanging truth, truth that must be part of your daily consciousness. I think you'll find that these themes, these truth ideas, will enable you to bring spiritual awareness into your normal daily activities and shift emphasis from the outer world as you learn to walk through the outer world while standing firmly in the kingdom of God. I have maybe 10, 12, 15 spiritual exercises for you. I suggest that you hear them all the way through both sides of the tape before you try any of them. And then when you have heard them all, I suggest that you do only one exercise, use one theme per day. Don't use all 10, 12, or 15 of them in a single day. Take one. Take them chronologically. Take the first one first. Make it the activity of the day. And you will see how as we go along. And then when you have used that theme for the first day, take the second theme for the second day. Until you have completed all of the themes, and it might take you, let's say, 15 days. And then if you look at them and find that on certain ones you were strong and on certain ones weak, you can, for the next 15 days, repeat the ones that you were weak on, so that you've really got a tape for the month. I mean a tape that you should hear every single day of the month, so that on one day you just hear that first theme. Cut it off after that, go on and do it. The next day, come back, hear the second theme. Cut it off and do it. I think you'll find that after the first week, after having applied one truth per day, you will begin receiving a higher wisdom from a higher source. You'll feel it seeping in. You'll find that your spiritual adjustment within is a very continuing process, that the veil is really thinning, that your outer activities are truly reflecting this new inner adjustment, that spirit is now going before you, transforming you from the son of a woman to the son of a virgin. So before we start working with these exercises, let's take a moment now of inner rest. Would you close your eyes? Come to that place above your mind, your higher consciousness. Just rest there. Just rest in higher consciousness above the mind. And wait upon the inner spirit. All right, now, let's go into our first theme. I like to call these themes act of truth. They're not words to memorize, but rather they are truth that never changes, truth that you must make part of your daily life, truth that you must learn to depend upon. Number one is, only God is here. Now, there's nothing in this world that is going to change that. There's no event in the entire world that can ever change that truth. That's why we're using it. It's a truth. It doesn't change. Only God is here. Think what would happen to you if you knew that so well. That regardless of what the world showed forth, you could face it with a smile and even with deep joy, knowing why only God is here. If a person walks into the room where you are, does that mean God leaves the room? No, nothing changes. If a person walks out of the room, same thing, nothing changes. What we're really saying, then, is that you are not to store this fact on a shelf in your memory. You must learn how to know this consciously. And that's the purpose of this contemplative meditation. To learn to know consciously that only God is here. Now, if tomorrow you wake up and you begin your meditation with that, that is your work for the day. Nothing else. You can go to your business. You can go to the store. You can go on a picnic. You can go to the beach. You can go into any form of activity during the day or the night. But if you conduct your contemplative meditation correctly, knowing that only God is here, that truth will become an active truth in your consciousness which permeates all of those activities during the rest of the day. And it is not your function to then lay aside this meditation as if it never happened, but to then take the conscious awareness of this truth into wherever you go. That's your job for the day. This is daily rebirth, daily resurrection, not through a meditation spaced 4 hours or 6 hours apart, but through facing a truth in your consciousness without flinching, without turning away, without yielding to the temptation of a physical world. I know it can be done. And I know that as you do it, you're much better for it. A bird chirps. Ah, you think there's a bird? No. Quickly, enjoy the chirping of the bird. But today, this one day only, make the effort to know that the bird is but an appearance, and only God is there. This day, make the effort. This is your daily rebirth to truth, that only God is here. An automobile pulls up in your driveway. This day, make the effort to know that there is no automobile pulling up in your driveway. Only God is here. People come in and out of your house, in and out of your office. This day, make the effort to know that only God is here. Don't worry what happens by your knowing. Don't be concerned about what will come to you or won't come to you because you're taking time to know. This day, know it. Consciously. Continuously. If you're a bookkeeper, while you're adding the figures, no, behind everything, only God is here. These aren't customers. Only God is here. These aren't debits and liabilities. Only God is here. Know it this day. Make this one day a standout awareness that God is here. Everything else, continue to do as you do. But place this behind all you do so that you're adding this new dimension to your conscious awareness while you continue your normal routine. And you will know when you are doing it correctly because gradually you should notice that without your trying to get anything or improve anything, this quiet inner conscious acceptance that only God is here begins to become your silent thought, begins to go deeper than your mind and become part of your normal consciousness. And soon the world around you, the people, the entire feeling of things around you, the whole temperament of where you are, begins to take on a different feeling of harmony, well-being, rightfulness. Now that's your exercise for the first day. If you've wondered why the thin veil still remains between you and ultimate truth, you'll begin to see as you practice this exercise faithfully, giving it top priority over everything you do, that you are beginning to seriously live the daily resurrection. I think we, in this first half, can do several more exercises. In the first, God is here. The second is actually the same. The only difference is that we're going to say, on the second day, only Spirit is here. You see, some of you still have a God. Others are able to stand in the knowledge that God is Spirit. And those of you who can will find that Spirit may become your way of knowing that only God is here rather than having to personalize. But anyway, we're taking it both ways. The first day is only God is here. The second day is only Spirit is here. And that's your theme for the second day. It's really the identical theme. Now here comes the postman. But wait a minute, only Spirit is here. Yes, consciously know it, only Spirit is here. I'm not going to be fooled. Spirit is here, and this postman is my limited concept. My limited senses see a postman carrying the mail, but I know Spirit is here. You see, we're training ourselves to know what our mind, what our senses do not know. Spirit is delivering. Spirit is receiving. Even the letter is my human concept of spiritual activity. Because only Spirit is here. This is a truth that will always be truth, and it's time we draw ourselves into alignment with it. You're sending out correspondence to your customers. No, you're not. You're receiving letters from your clients. No, you're not. Spirit is the only presence. Spirit is the only activity. And without this dimension in your consciousness, those letters are not going to contain spiritual substance. The invisible Spirit of God is the only presence and the only activity in this universe, no matter what your outer eyes may see. You may see people, animals, trees, flowers, rivers, mountains, but invisibly, all is the one living Spirit of God. This is your second day of daily rebirth, and it must be part of every activity during that day. I think you're getting the idea now. So we can go to our third day. God is running a perfect universe. Just digest that within yourself. Today, in my daily resurrection, while I attend to my normal activities, While I look at everything good or bad, while I know that only God is here, I know that God is running a perfect universe. This is the truth. What my eye sees does not matter. What my eye sees does not change that truth. And because God is running a perfect universe, whatever I see that is imperfect is only a concept of the world mind. I'm not trying to discover this. I'm not trying to prove this. I am accepting it, living by it, as a universal truth that will never change. Now, God is running a perfect universe. Tomorrow, God will be running a perfect universe. Yesterday, God ran a perfect universe. And so I erase every belief I ever had consciously that something went wrong. Nothing ever went wrong. This, on my third day of daily rebirth, is an acceptance of this truth. And consequently, an erasure of all in my life that has denied this truth. I thought I had the smallpox when I was 3 years old. I thought that at the age of 7, some boy knocked out my front tooth. I thought at the age of 14 that I'd never get rid of this horrible complexion. And at 22, I was so hurt in love. At 29, another problem. At 36, another problem. But wait a minute. I didn't know then that God was running a perfect universe. I know it now. And I accept it now for all those years. I was wrong. I was living as a child born of woman. I didn't know I was the Son of God, perfect as my Father. I know it now. I know now those things were never true. I know now that I was then the Son of God, even though I didn't know it then. God has been running a perfect universe eternally. And so through all of my so-called past years, I was living in God's perfect universe unawares. And I only suffered from my unawareness of that truth. Today, the same thing is true. God is running a perfect universe. That's why this is the theme of the third day. Because it is a truth. A truth that we must come to accept. Now we're facing it. Perhaps a letter will come in the mail today with great and wonderful news and we'll be elated. But suppose one comes with bad news and we frown and we worry. It's because we are in a state of separation from the truth. There's no bad news in today's mail. God is running a perfect universe. What's the difference what it says? It isn't true. And it can have the most horrible ideas in it, which you would normally say, oh my heavens, what can I do now? How can you then be the Son of God? You're back to humanhood, mortality, the belief that you're flesh and bones, aren't you? You see why this must be a daily practice? Now, theoretically, you've gone through the first day. We only did it for a few minutes, but you will do it for a whole day. And then the second day. And by this third day, if such a letter would come to you, you could just look at it and say, of course, it's a mistake. It can't be. God doesn't run a perfect universe and permit you to receive nasty letters. God is running a perfect universe. And when your consciousness is there, it erases automatically the belief that you received bad news. You can't be human and divine. You can't be spirit and flesh. You can't walk in the world and walk in the kingdom of God. We're out of duality. And as you cross that false dividing line and stand there, knowing this is a perfect universe that God is running, well, it's better that you have that experience. Because no words from anyone can mean as much as the actual experience of feeling the actual turning. Until bad news is, it just isn't there anymore as bad news. It wilts, it dissolves. The human picture changes. It conforms to the divine image. It really does. Now, when you know that God is running a perfect universe, when that's your way of life, suppose you're looking at TV and the Indianapolis Speedway is on, car goes up in flames. Well, it does for the rest of the world, but not for you. There's no car going up in flames in God's perfect universe, and there is no other universe. The world is not living by the unchanging truth. The world is living by sense impression. The world isn't living the daily resurrection. The world isn't being reborn from the second self born of woman to the first self born of God. But you are. You are transforming your consciousness. You're being true to truth alone. Not to the deception of the physical appearances. So if you were at the Indianapolis Speedway, and even if you were treating the driver who crashed, you would administer all of the visible medical aids that you could, that his consciousness requires, but in your consciousness, you would be knowing the truth. You would be knowing, Father, I am true to you. Only you are here. There is no mortal flesh here except in the world mind. There is no mortal flesh where I appear. Only your spirit is here, and your spirit is constantly maintaining your perfection. Your spirit here is omnipotent. It does not permit evil. The Spirit of God here is conscious, all-knowing, knowing all that is happening. And if that Spirit saw an imperfection coming, if such were possible, that Spirit has the power to prevent it before it happens. So there is no place where any imperfection can ever actually begin. For only Spirit is here. And that Spirit of God that is here can never be imperfect anywhere. This is truth forever, no matter what pictures appear. God is here running a perfect universe. His perfect will is invisibly operating all around me, through me, within me, wherever the eye may see. Newspapers may tell me of floods and disasters. Newspaper editors do not know that only the Spirit of God is here, that only the power of God is here, that that power is maintaining its perfect universe here and there is no other, that only the will of God is here, that nothing can ever happen but the perfect will and action of God. But I know it, and so what I see changes nothing. What I read changes nothing. What I feel changes nothing. The truth that I live by today and this third day of rebirth is that God is running a perfect universe. I have returned to the Father's house. We're up to the fourth day. I am the Son of God. I. Within yourself now, whisper your real name. Before, you spoke the name on your birth certificate. Now say, I. I. I am I. I am I, the Son of God. I'm not Billy Smith. I'm not Mary Jones. That is my second self, born of woman. I am I, Son of God. That first self, born of virgin spirit, that is my only and my real identity. Today, on my fourth day of rebirth, I accept and I will live by, I am the Son of God. Do you know what Son of God means? It means the same as Christ. Christ means God expressing. Son of God means God expressing. That's what it means. Where God is expressing, that is the Son of God. Your virgin birth is the realization that I am the living expression of God now. And that is called Son of God. That is who you are, who you have been, who you will ever be. I am I, Son of God. This isn't something you must attain. This is your reality. This is who you are. You are God expressing, Spirit expressing. I am the living Spirit of God, and the qualities of that Spirit are now my qualities. My senses do not know this. My mind is ignorant of this, but it's the permanent truth. All that God has, I have. Right now, right here, where my senses can neither see nor touch it. That's why where I stand is holy ground, spiritual ground. The Son of God, the expression of God, stands here, perfect as the Father, invisible to the human mind. Is God healthy? Is God rich? Then I must be healthy and I must be rich. But I don't have the money to show for it and I don't have the health to show for it. Those are the lies. I am the Son of God. There's no correction to make except to consciously know the truth. The Son of God is exactly what the Father is. I'm as healthy as God. I'm as rich as God. I'm even as wise as God. For I am the heir of God. The expression of God, the life of God, the household of God. And I have access to all the heavenly riches. All I need do now is to know that my real self is the expression of God. That's my task for today. Wherever I go, I won't shout it to the world, but I will wear it in my consciousness. Every quality of spirit is mine now, and this substance that I am is the substance of God. I am totally complete. I need no desires because I have all that I need. I cannot need if I am the Son. The very needing is a denial of being. I have no real conflict. I need no corrections. I need no improvements. I do not have to overcome obstacles. God is omnipotent. Can his spiritual expression be less? His omnipotence is my omnipotence. I do not have to make it so. So I stand still. Releasing all belief in my senses when they tell me something must be improved. Who can change the omnipotence of God or the omnipotence of the Son of God? It is now expressing. And that which denies it is untrue. I am limitless, boundless, spirit, without beginning, without end. I am timeless, ageless. I am not an earth span or a lifespan. I am forever. I am under no human conditions. There is only spirit here where I stand. I am spirit under grace, the divine, deathless self.